May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O gracious God, our strength and our Redeemer. The parable of the talents that we just heard so wonderfully done by Margaret is from Matthew's Gospel, but it's also recorded in Luke's Gospel. They have the same source, but they vary significantly in both meaning and in interpretation. And in the case of Matthew, the message is not about meriting reward, but rather it's about dedicated and faithful response by the Christian to God's gift in and through Jesus. In other words, the gifts that we've been given by God through Jesus, how do we respond to those? That's what's being measured. That is our challenge. One commentator whose name is Carla Works, who's a New Testament professor at Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C., has said this: contrary to what might be modeled by some best-selling televangelists, the parable does not justify a gospel of economic prosperity. Instead, it challenges believers to emulate their master by using all that God has given them for the sake of the kingdom. In other words, our gifts are to be used to broaden and increase the kingdom. And the greatest gift, of course, that we're given is the gift of faith. And it is a gift. We don't come into the world filled with faith. That is a gift. And what we do with that gift is up to us. But the expectation, of course, is that we will make the most of it. And the question we need to ask from time to time, and I think this is a question we probably need to continue to ask throughout our lives, is, are we making the most of our gift of faith? And if we are not, then why not? And even if we are making reasonably good use of that gift of faith, could we make better use of it? And just how do we make use of that gift? The parable speaks of a situation that's absolutely filled with promise. And the master gives to each slave a certain amount of talents, or cash, we would say today. And in the case of the first slave, who was given 5 talents, that would have been the equivalent of 100 years' wages for an average worker. So it's an enormous sum of money. And even the third slave, who received only 1 talent, received the equivalent of 20 years worth of wages for an average worker. So for all three of them, they were given a hugely significant amount. And each one has the potential to take that amount and grow it, as we have the potential to take our faith and grow it. Invest, capitalize, to earn. And it's in the scripture, you heard it. To earn both interest and the master's good pleasure. Interest, in fact, was not allowed. Interest was illegal, so it could not earn interest. You'd have to find other ways to make those 5 or 2 or 1 talent grow. Each has the possibility of serving so as to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That was at the end as well. But one of them does not fulfill his potential. He's been given only a single portion of talent. He doesn't think he is capable of investing even that. He's afraid. So he buries the talent and returns it when his master comes back. He returns it undiminished. It's all there, but totally undeveloped, which, of course, the master was expecting. So fear robbed him of his potential. He was afraid of this master. He was afraid if he tried to grow that talent and something happened, the master would be very harsh and hard on him. So he buried it. So fear prevented him from growing his gift, his talent. And yet we're all created with potential. We are all endowed by our Creator with certain gifts. And those gifts, of course, will vary from person to person, as we learn from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 12, when he talks about a variety of gifts, but they all come together in one body. Each of us has gifts. In that way, we are the same. So we're both the same and we are different. In that way, we are created equal, that we all have gifts. And we use them here in our Christian family, and we use them in our homes, and we use them in our work and school places, and we use them in the broader community and other places. We put our gifts to work. But at the same time, we are unique, and our gifts will vary according to our uniqueness. And it's kind of like those dreaded leaves at this time of year. And if you haven't asked Warren about his leaves, he would love to tell you a story about how evil they were. Where Catherine and I live, there aren't a lot of leaves because there aren't a lot of mature trees. It's a newer area. But there are, I should admit, there are enough there that I should be raking them. But there aren't a lot. But I remember back a few years when we lived in the rectory in Ajax. And on one year we filled 50 of those large yard waste bags with leaves, 50 of them. And they were the same in that they were all leaves, but no two are alike. They're like snowflakes. They're all different. And I don't know how many there might have been there in 50 large bags, 500,000, 5 million. I don't know. I just know there were an awful lot of leaves. Our gifts are like that. We have an awful lot of gifts. No two are exactly alike, but there are millions of them. You know, in the short time I've been here, I've looked around this parish and I've seen so many gifts. And you're blessed that way. So all our gifts are different, but we are the same in that we have those gifts and therefore the potential to put them to very good use. And let me come back to that greatest gift, that gift of faith. It's a gift the world desperately needs today. We who have received it have the responsibility to share it, to broadcast it, to spread it around, just like that shrewd master would spread around his or her money, his or her talents. Faith that is shared is a gift that will grow. And faith that is hoarded or hidden is a faith that will at best remain dormant, and at worst will simply crumble and decay. And Jesus makes it clear in this parable that the one who develops neither talents nor faith is a servant that really the kingdom of heaven does not need. Here is Jesus uncharacteristically speaking a new law. And he's saying, use well what God has given you, or otherwise lose all that you've been given. But at the center of this law really is love. On the other side, the flip side of each law, each commandment, each regulation, is God's love. Here, Jesus' hard words speak of one who graces people with faith and with life. And the life is ours to live, to develop, to enjoy, but also to share. The faith is ours both as a harvest of salvation and a seed to be sown for the benefit of others. Hearing such a legalism from Jesus, as we did in this parable, is easier to accept than from the ever-watchful Pharisees of his day, who also had gifts. They had legal gifts, and they also had gifts of faith. But they failed to invest them wisely. Jesus, on the other hand, took his entire capital, and risked it on a very risky venture called the cross. And that risky venture is still paying dividends today, 2,000 years later, for all of those who are heirs of that fortune of faith. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for all the gifts that you have poured into us, especially the gift of faith. Now we pray that you will give us the courage to use our gifts and the wisdom to use them wisely, all to the greater honor and glory of your name. We ask this in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.